Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you wish for.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, indeed. As they say, let's get started. We have a two-part show set before us this evening. Heidi Hollis is in the house. And in just a moment, you're going to learn just a little bit more about her in her introduction. She is the host of Dark Becomes Light, as heard on the number one show, iHeartRadio, as well as Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. She is going to bring to us tonight some very interesting perspectives, as well as what she currently lives with in her life known as bi-location. And we will talk a little bit more about that in the show. So we better get started because it's going to be a big one coming up here. Sit back, enjoy yourself, and as they say, here we go.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Just about the time we all think we have heard it all, seen it all, been through it all, someone comes along and says, "Oh, by the way, have you ever heard of this?" And boy, have I learned something on this show tonight. Heidi Hollis is in the house. Heidi is best known for having named, defined, and trademarked two outer-worldly realities, Shadow People and the Hat Man. These phenomena expose a particular bridge between ufology and the paranormal that Heidi has been speaking about and on in many situations for years. With her book written in 1997 called The Secret War, A True Story About a Real Alien War and Shadow People, Heidi embarked on a unique journey to find answers that led her into informing the world about what is really happening out there. She has also written several other chart-topping books on a variety of phenomena like The Hat Man, Jesus is No Joke, Picture Prayers, and others. Heidi Hollis is the host of Dark Becomes Light, which is heard on the number one radio podcast, iHeartRadio. And she is also heard on Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network, which anyone who has experienced anything out of the ordinary has a place to now share their experiences and to get some direct insight. Heidi Hollis has been featured globally on various TV and radio programs such as Ancient Aliens, the CW number one show Mysteries Decoded, Strange Evidence, Beyond Belief with George Norrie, The Unexplained Files, Mystery Hunters, and more. What does she do for her regular living? She is an occupational therapist. She treats clients with psychological, cognitive, learning, and physical challenges to reach their fullest potential. What does Heidi do to also bring some entertainment to her life? She is a person who does and creates paranormal comics, and she has a webcomic site called The Outlanders. She has received thousands of stories and shares many of them in her blog called The Hatman Letters. And there is so much more, and we had talked about quite a bit on this show tonight. So without further ado, let's get started because this is going to be a big one. Please welcome my guest to the show, Miss Heidi Hollis. Well, hello, Heidi, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Oh, I'm so honored to have you. My goodness. Oh, so I wanted to kind of capitalize a little bit on that resume of yours. You've got quite an impressive resume here. And so, but I thought that before we kind of delve into some of the really interesting stuff, why don't we just go back a little bit here and talk a little bit about where this might have all began for you? Because once we understand that, we can understand how all of this has evolved to where you're at right now.
Well, again, thank you for having me on the show, and I'm humbled to be here with you. I think it's great when people put their hearts and passions forward in topics like this. And it started as a passion project for myself too, to try to find answers. I grew up in a haunted house and I did not know what I was dealing with. I was 8 years old when I was confronted with the first diabolical entity is the best that I could describe. And I could share a little bit what happened.
Yeah.
My mother had passed earlier in the year, and my dad moved in some furniture from my future stepmother later in the year, and one of it being an organ. It was Christmas Day. We just opened up all of our toys, myself and a few siblings and future stepbrother, and we're playing with our stuff, having a good old time. And my dad and future stepmom are like, "Oh, we're gonna go wish some other people a Merry Christmas. We'll be right back." Okay. We didn't care. We're playing with our toys. And all of a sudden, the organ started playing by itself, and it was hitting every low key. It was like, bah, 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 bah. And myself and my two sisters, we were big fans of super old time Western movies with the automatic playing pianos. So we're like, we got close and we're like, this is so cool. You know, what's the button you push for this to work? We ask my future stepbrother, and he's redhead, freckled, and he just turned ghost white, like, it doesn't do that. Yeah. and it took us like a few moments, like we're all looking at each other like, oh, this is like a moment of terror like no other. We ran into the bathroom that was across from the organ, and we locked ourselves in. And this thing wouldn't stop. It was just pounding away, just going crazy. And because, you know, we locked ourselves in the bathroom because, you know, it's got a lock on it. And so we're like, well, what do we do? You know, this is crazy. And didn't know what to do. We're so young, you know, and this thing is driving us crazy. And my older sister, who was a little bit more of a bully, she's like, well, it's too crowded in this bathroom. Somebody's got to get out. Mm-hmm. And she shoved me out.
Oh, great. Like,
yeah. You know, middle kid syndrome.
Yeah.
And I'm like, not me, you know, come on. I was like, well, you know, who else is going to do it? So I'm sitting there bawling my eyes out, and I couldn't take the sound of this thing anymore. Now, I knew there was a key, and I went to get the keys and pull down the cover for it and locked it up.
Right.
And it stopped. And I'm like telling myself, you can come out now. You know, there's this thing stopped. And they start creeping out and they look. And then all of a sudden another sound was replacing the organ, and they ran back in the bathroom, locked the door. And I'm like, there's mounds of wrapping paper. And I'm like, I've got to find this thing. And I'm pulling it up. I'm like, it was my baby sister's new toy, and it was an electronic guitar. Yeah. And I'm telling them what it is, and I'm like, I'm gonna pull the batteries out so this thing stops, you know. And I flipped it over, and of course it had no batteries. So and I just, you know, I just almost collapsed in terror. I couldn't even get the words out. Like, it's no batteries. There's no batteries. And so that was my introduction and my first confrontation with something absolutely horrific. I didn't know.
Heidi, let me break this down a little bit more here. Okay. So what, the first thing that comes to my mind, just out of a curiosity thing, is, was this in town, what we would refer to as a town, or was the house out in the country a little bit, or just outside of town? Where were you?
It was in the city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So it wasn't out. Yeah, it was. And you know, everybody's like, oh, it was your mother. I'm like, hold on. What mom would want to subject their very young children to horror? And I'm very much of the notion that, you know, there's no protective love like a mother's love.
Right.
And there was just, when she was gone, we were exposed. And it presented itself later as being something like shadow people, but I didn't know what, you know, what I was dealing with back then, but apparently it was behind it. To an extent, anyhow.
Interesting. The other question I have regarding that is, am I going to guess right here that, and I've talked with people on the show before that, and especially in my case too, I've haunted newer homes, or I've had experiences in newer homes. Was this one of the older homes? Would you say, was this an older home in Milwaukee?
It wasn't super old, to my understanding. No, it wasn't. The house had no issues prior.
Yeah.
It seemed to come with when my stepmother moved in.
So. Okay, that's very interesting. Okay, yeah, so now we have
her place. I don't know.
Yeah, something jumped and hopped a ride, possibly, or something. I also talk with people a little bit about this too, that sometimes. And I don't have any, of course, any big fact base on this. It's just speculation. Sometimes things can be real idle, and then somebody with exactly your stepmom might have a particular energy about her or something, and all of a sudden it just awakens. And I don't know. I mean, have you ever been in a situation before where something might be idle in the situation you're in, and it just is awakened by something like that?
Yeah. And it's like, there's elements of it I'm not quite sharing right now that I have a better understanding of what caused it. And, but yeah, it's complicated, but yeah, so there are other elements to it. But that was just the beginning. Hold it. I thought it was the beginning, but, something came forward later, hidden memory, did not know. So, and it was while my mother was still alive. So, and that involved what I suspect to be alien beings, but, it presented itself kind of like a poltergeist. So, you know, it's a wacky world, you know, there's a way that all this stuff intersects. And that's one of my specialties is, you know, showing how the ufology and paranormal and poltergeist, cryptids, all that stuff, holy encounters, how it's all connected. We have these categories that we like to cordon off and say, oh, that's this over here, or ghost hunters that don't believe in aliens and vice versa. And I'm like, give me a break. You know, it's all connected. There should be a lot more progress in these subjects, but because there's so much inner fighting and ego and hoping to get a TV show, these things don't happen faster, you know? So it's a shame and a sham, but you know, one step at a time, right?
Well, you know, I asked that very question on a show I was on a day or two ago myself. I said, because I've had also so many experiences that after a while, first, when I was younger, I thought everything was spiritual. Okay, it had to be an explanation. It's all spiritual. Then all of a sudden, I've been having other experiences, and I thought, interesting. Maybe it's paranormal. Yeah, no, it's not spiritual. It's definitely paranormal. And then, of course, within the last, I'd say the last couple of years here, now I'm also on the fence and saying, you know,
maybe it's extraterrestrial, and so, or maybe it's multidimensional or whatever. So if you can go back and go a little bit further into your childhood a little bit, Heidi, what there's always a turning point where I said, I'm not so sure this is paranormal anymore because of what's going on with me. Maybe this is a little bit extraterrestrial. Okay, so now where was that turning point for you? So are you still in that house and having experiences?
No. So my stepmother and dad got tired of dealing with it, so they built a new house.
Okay.
To get away from it. So this weird spooky stuff, yeah, that stopped. For everybody but me, I still had some poltergeist stuff going on. I started having out of body experiences. But the one connecting factor between myself and my two sisters is we started having shared dreams, not like similar topic. We were in them, seeing each other running from paranormal things happening. And it was horrific, absolutely horrific. And we didn't talk to each other about what was going on, because it was using the face of our mother to, you know, it's just something out of a horror movie. It's like to come closer, like, oh my gosh, mom, you're alive. You know, what's going on? You go closer and it's black eyes and it's trying to kill you. And it's just horrible, you know? So who's going to share, had a nightmare of mom trying to kill me? You know, no, we didn't do that. And it took a long time before I realized my sister wasn't sleeping. And she started knocking on wood and throwing salt over her shoulder. I'm like, what are you doing? You know? And so she's like, well, I heard this will take the nightmares away. What nightmares? Mm-hmm. And then she finally broke down after years. I'm talking about years, decades of these nightmares, not just a short time. So yeah, really horrific stuff. But so the turning point for me was when I was a teenager, and it was like, 10 years later, my sister's sitting in the middle of the kitchen and she's doing her homework. And I got this memory that came back to me out of nowhere. And I'm like, hey, do you remember when we were kids and that robotic toy clown came after us? She stopped her doing her homework. She's like, what? I thought that was a nightmare. I'm like, no, we do not share dreams like that. You know, I'm like, you draw what you saw and I'll draw what I saw. And we both drew the same thing. And I'm like, hold on. What was this? Mom was still alive. That wasn't the haunting, you know? So what took place is my mom sent me and my sister to go upstairs to get my brother for dinner. Mm-hmm. And we're close in age. So we're like racing against each other, you know, to get up the stairs. And she always beat me. She got past me. And we rounded the corner to come up the stairs, and out of my brother's bedroom came this robotic toy clown thing. And being little kids, we're like, I know who likes clowns. And we're like, oh, that is so neat. Like, it came out of his room, did a 90-degree angle turn, mm-hmm. and came right towards us. We're like, oh my gosh, that is so neat. And we try to go get closer to go play with it. And I can't even tell you, every time I talk about this, I get chills. And it's so many years later, you know, we got this horrible feeling of terror. Mm-hmm. Terror hit us. And it's not that it seemed we're moving in slow motion. We actually were moving in slow motion. As we turned to run from this thing, we're like, no, you know, and like go to run. Mm-hmm. This thing was draining us of our energy,
right?
Draining us of our energy. Right. And we got to the top of the stairs. I watched my sister pass out in slow motion, tumble down the stairs. I passed out at the top of the stairs. My mom picks up her limp child at the bottom of the stairs, doesn't ask any questions, puts her on the couch. Me, I wake up still at the top of the stairs, looking around like, you know, what happened? We never spoke of it for 10 years. Mm. Like, it just never happened. And all of a sudden, I'm walking through the kitchen, the memory comes back.
Mm.
What was that? That wasn't a ghost. That wasn't, you know, we knew the other stuff, but this was a solid something. And my brother did not own this toy clown. He was a teenager. I was like almost 18. We're like, what was this thing? And that's when I was like, I need to find answers. I did a lot of searching, trying to figure out, and I came across the famous communion book by Whitley Strieber. I mean, And I was like, nothing struck me about that face that was on the cover of a gray alien being. Nothing struck me. I got pulled to want to read it. And, you know, I saw the film.
Yeah.
And what did it have but a robotic toy clown flying through the air? I was like, oh my gosh. And I learned that sometimes these beings try to lure children with a toy.
Right.
And I didn't feel we got abducted. I think it tried. I think we did alert our mom, you know, and I don't think it got us, but what a strange scenario. And it sent me on this path. I saw strange lights in the sky. My parents built their house out in the country and lights would follow me when I'm walking, you know. It was just a strange existence. And yeah.
I want to jump in here because, well, clowns are creepy in and of themselves, you know. So I was in and people have heard me talk about this on my podcast before, but I don't think anyone's really ever heard me talk about this on a TV talk show before. But you mentioned a couple things here that I can relate to personally myself. And I don't know if it was really, I was in a pretty well-known museum in Las Vegas that's haunted. And I did have a few experiences in there, including being drained of my energy where I almost collapsed on the stairs as I was leading a group of people up them. But we were also going towards the clown room. And I don't think the clown room had anything to do with it. I really don't know to this day what drained my energy on those stairs. I just know that I'm a beacon, and I would suspect you are too, just judging from what the way it sounds. How old were you when you saw this clown coming around the corner?
I'm guessing because my mother was still alive. She passed when I was 7. So I could have been 7 or 6.
Right. And so you're not going to question that very much. You're going to be more intrigued by it and curious of it. Now, if you're an adult and you saw something like that coming around the corner, what would your thinking be compared to what it might have been then?
I've seen worse things as an adult now, but my reaction, I'm not a person that jumps or screams really easily. So yeah. I'm pretty steady, steady the course, you know. Honestly, I think I would close my eyes and say a prayer.
Yeah.
Because they feed off of the fear, so I'm not going to feed into it. So I'm going to close my eyes.
Correct. Right. That's exactly right. That's one thing I've learned over time with the number of experiences I've had too. It's kind of like, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, good one, but I'm not going to give into that. You mentioned another thing too, that I have also experienced in my current house, which was this poltergeist activity. And I want to talk a little bit about that because I have also picked up things in this house. I did see visually, probably about, a month and a half to 2 months ago, a black wisp that was about 2 feet tall. It was coming up the stairs. And I saw this thing just literally wisp across the hallway and went into my husband's office. And I thought, well, it's in his office. I don't care. But, you know, it's just, if it was in my office, that'd be a different story. But, there's also a lot of things that have gone on in here. And I had some really bizarre things happening in here as well. And that included what sounded like in my master bedroom, it sounded like some kind of a ship or a spaceship or a craft. Now, this people think I'm absolutely whacked out, but I'm not. I woke up to this and I heard, and it's like there was nothing mechanical in the house that ever and has made that noise, but I couldn't see anything. And I just sat there and I stared up towards the ceiling. And I thought to myself, what the bejesus is that? You know, and I've had handprints and all this other stuff happen, but I want to go back to you for a moment on that. So there is a point where you're thinking maybe some of this poltergeist activity might actually go over a little bit into the extraterrestrial realm. Can you think of a situation where you're like, yep, I mean, other than the clown, which do you think that was more extraterrestrial than something of a paranormal sort trying to just scare you? I don't know. What do you think on that?
Oh, I do think that was more extraterrestrial because it was so solid And it involved both of us witnessing, seeing this thing, the exact same method and manner. And it seemed to levitate, by the way.
Oh, God.
So it wasn't, it had these feet that kept coming forward, but it wasn't waddling. So it was kind of, not on the floor, on the ground. I do feel it was more extraterrestrial. And there's also something to be said about a pull, an inner pull, to know and to feel and to identify with something above. I always felt that. I always felt like I lived in the country and I had to walk miles to places a lot, and to never feel alone. And I would look up and see a star is following me, something was to that. And I acknowledged that. And I felt that, that inner knowing, I think, speaks louder than a lot of people allow themselves to experience. And I just am not one to doubt that way, especially now that I have a lot of the memories that that I do. And college was a really turning point for myself, because, and it's not that I've been regressed hypnotically to remember this stuff. I have sucked in my attempts to be hypnotized. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things. But I spontaneously got my memories back before I was born.
Interesting. Oh, before you were born?
Before I was born, and agreeing to come here to be doing certain things. And it all came back at once. And I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine, got up to go walk across the living room to go use the restroom. And I'm not there any longer. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at a scene in space. And I saw it was a spinning sun. It spun clockwise. Mm-hmm. Next to it was another spinning mass. It was red. And I knew the red spinning mass of light was a place where everything gets recorded. Okay. I call it like a knowledge library, library of knowledge. Mm-hmm. People call it a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the spinning light, there were trillions upon trillions of lights in it.
Yeah.
And each light was a soul.
Okay.
I was one of them. And it was like a love soup. And the way that it was like kind of golden, it kind of pulsed and it kind of flowed like water, though it was individualized.
Yeah.
Goals, thoughts, ideas, missions, things that needed to be done. It would flow, the thought would flow clockwise, and every light contributed to it, and it would go to the center of it and become one.
Mm-hmm.
I knew this place was called the source, not source or, mm-hmm. the source. It wasn't God. People want to say that's God. We're all God. No, we contribute, but there is a head, and it's not, I'm not talking about in that source part. I'm talking, there's a God, a separate from this. And I remember casually thinking, this mission came by, and I was casually was like, guess that's something I could do. Yeah. And it was like, everybody else took a step back in line. Like she said, she'd do it, And all of a sudden I am being thrown. I'm being pulled out of this love suit. And it was like, my heart was getting ripped from my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and going into this cold space, flying through space. Yeah. And with everything I had, I'm like, I take it back. Yeah. I don't want to go.
Yeah, exactly.
And I went to go get, I got trained. I went to go get trained on other planets, other places. But the number one place that I went to, and I still go to today, I call it the Crystal City. Mm-hmm. And it looks very much like ancient Greek buildings, and lessons being taught there. Mm-hmm. And more recently, I've learned a lot in regards to that. Answers I wasn't looking for. Like I couldn't even give you like a standing point to say, I'm going to bring this up to somebody so I can have a conversation about it, because it was so different and so foreign and to people. I never did that, And to now have people come and say, we know what that is. We know what this is. And I'm like, humankind has words for this. Like I go there still. And I just call it the Crystal City. It's some things exist without titles, but I go and I've learned a lot there, and everything that I learned was in preparation for this lifetime. And because people are like, oh, the world's going to end. I'm like, this world is a lot older than you and I. This world ain't going anywhere, but we are. So I call it a time of change, not a an end times, you know. So there's things that are going to have to happen. And it's just, it's a cycle. It's what happens. But in the meantime, what's important is the warning of you have a soul.
Yeah.
Acknowledge it. And there are negative things trying to infiltrate and dominate over your individual souls. So shadow people, hat man, these two things I was told to come and warn about, taught to come warn about, prepare people and get their faith back. I'm never shy to say I'm Christian. It's like, how does that happen? Mm-hmm. You've seen all these things. I'm like, Jesus is real. Mm-hmm. He's very real. And it's like, I didn't always have my memories back, and I had experienced so much growing up. I took steps away from the church. I was raised Methodist, not a strict religion, you know, or anything. And I was writing my first book while I was in college called The Secret War, The Heavens Speak of the Battle, because I had experienced so many other experiences. And I was very much, my eyes were open to so much. And I literally wrote in that book while I was done writing it, but I was editing it here and there. And I put, if Jesus were around, I think I would have seen him by now. Hmm. Well, he showed up and I just had to be painfully honest about it and rewrite that part of my book and say why. And people are like, I'm reading your book. That part totally didn't fit, but I'm glad you put it in there. And it's like, why did you? I'm like, because he showed up and my memories had come back. And who would have thought, you know, we have this image in our head of what Jesus and God is because of artists. I'm a cartoonist. What if your thoughts of what a computer looks like is what I decided to draw, you know? But Jesus, he lived here. He's so powerful. And made such an impression on this earth. You know, people are always like to say, well, how, he's not that big of a deal. I'm like, oh, really? What's the date? Oh, 2022. Oh, since our Lord died? Is that what we said it by? Oh, yeah, we did. So I think it was a big deal when he left because a rumor dies after a while, right? Yeah. But we're still at 2022 since he died. So, there's something to be said about the power of who he is. Mm-hmm. I thought it was this rumor said to come back someday until I got my memories and he showed up. But he's very active and he is showing up to people all over the world at exponential rates. I don't care what your faith is. And so that's a big part of it, is to get people to wake up to the reality they have a soul, because there are beings from the outside that see you've got a soul and they want it. And they're manipulating. I don't care how this reality appears to be, but there's something going on. If you care to lift your head up from your phone and say, oh, there's a world out here. And all of a sudden, you know, your dad passes or something. And you start thinking, well, where did he go? Where'd that inner him go? We have to start acknowledging this, because there are other things that do see what we have and they want it. They want it. So.
Heidi, when you said that he showed up for you, of course, some people might say, well, maybe he's a she or you know, or how do you know it's a he, you know, but how did he show up to you? Did you visually see something? Was it a sensation, a feeling? What did you sense where you could say, yep, he showed up for me?
Oh, I've seen him more than once. The first time, absolutely incredible. He's shown up physically before as well. But this first time, and I was so taken aback by what his presence is like. I wrote a book called Jesus Is No Joke, because that's all I could say to people. I'm like, whoa, Jesus is no joke. The man is around, everybody, you know, that's all. So I just had to keep it real. You know, here I'm writing, I'm known for, you know, demonic and alien books. And I'm talking about Jesus. Yeah, I sure am, because he sure did show up. I would have never expected it. But the first time that I saw him, I was, I came home from work. I would go to work really early in the morning. I come home, take a quick nap and go to my internship or classes or something. Mm-hmm. And so I came home, it was like noon, told my roommate, turn the TV down. I'm going to go take my nap. And you know, when you get down your bed, you're like, fix your pillows, pull up your blanket or something. Right. Mm-hmm. I go to lay down on my bed and I missed and hit the floor. It's like, I go to swing my legs over and boom, I'm like, whoa, how did I do that? I'm like, well, I feel dumb, you know? I'm like straightening myself up, you know, standing up. And then I realize I am not in my bedroom. And I'm looking around like, whoa, where the heck am I? And I realize I'm on my parents' porch. And I'm totally trying to understand how I got there. Mm-hmm. And it gives me goosebumps every time I think about this. Mm-hmm. Because I was so solid. I was there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I was going to come to my parents' home to meet up with a family friend named Quincy. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, Heidi, you're going to come here. So you just don't remember how you got here. And I'm like, I'm tapping my legs and I'm looking around like, okay. And I'm trying to decipher, and my parents have a long driveway out in the country. And, mm-hmm. and I look down the driveway and I see this guy walking up. I'm like, yep, that's Quincy. Here he comes. Okay. Ugh. I don't know how I got here, though. It's so weird. And he's coming closer. And I mean, this element of recognition that hit me was so overwhelming. I tell people I could have been blind in seeing who it was, because every cell in my body screamed, it's Jesus. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, it's like, I put my face in my hands and, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, and he came right in front of me and he said, hello, as if he was going to ask about the weather or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hello. And he said, do you know who I am? If you knew who I was, you would not hesitate to say it. And I'm being my silly self with my face buried. And I'm like, took my hands away and I'm stuttering. And I said, well, you're Jesus. Mm-hmm. I don't speak a lick of Spanish. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I called him Jesus. And he said, yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the beginning of it. It's so much more that happened, but just wild, just changed everything for me.
So it was like you're transported from one place where you thought you were going to be, which is going into your bed. And then all of a sudden you're on the porch of your parents' place. Is that correct? Where you landed. You know that,
yeah.
You know, you see that once in a while, people put some of these things on, I don't know what that's called. I don't know if it's really aporting oneself or if there's a terminology for that. You know, people have always talked about, oh, I can go from one place and I can go to another, but then you see these things on, the internet or Facebook once in a while where they're, you see these people just all of a sudden just drop right down in the middle of New York City or something. And they're like, ah, good one. Right. But you would be probably the first person that I've ever talked with, obviously, who's ever had an experience where you're intending to be in one place, but all of a sudden end up in another. And what do you think contributes to that? Do you think you fell into a portal or a unusual vortex or walked? And what do you think contributed to that?
Well, you know, after all these years, there's another thing that was happening to me over these years that led me to an answer I stopped looking for. Mm-hmm. Because this is really something nobody could relate to. I had a UFO group for about 15 years.
Okay.
And I had a website on when a lot of people were just starting to get used to the internet with putting websites up. And I had a UFO website.
Mm-hmm.
And I started receiving emails that were really peculiar, where people were like, who the heck are you? You showed up and you saved my life over here. And sometimes they'd show me their photos. And and sometimes they look familiar.
Yeah.
And other times, you know, they would tell me like it was a dream, it was this, it was that.
Yeah.
And I've had memories for a long time of showing up in people's homes, helping them with stuff or different situations. And But, you know, you wake up and you're like, well, that was so real. But I would wake up exhausted sometimes from it. And I didn't quite understand what was going on, but I knew I was helping people. Mm-hmm. And I would ask these people, how'd you find me?
Yeah.
You know, it was just so odd. It's like, well, you told me your name. Oh, I did I? You mm-hmm. know, it's just the strangest things. Or something else told them, reach out to me. And so I got these emails. And I was talking to a religion scholar, mm-hmm. you know, just talking about some odd things that happened. They said, that's called bilocation, Heidi. Only the saints do that. And I'm like, I've asked people for years what this was. Mm-hmm. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? So this is something that has happened my whole life. And it's cool. It's not as sometimes it can be really exhausting, but when it's in the daytime, when I'm sitting somewhere, when I'm walking and it happens, it could be really startling. Yeah. So I'm glad that it's more now at nighttime when I'm sleeping, because I can handle it more. I mean, it's happened to me in the middle of things that, I mean, when they want to send a message or show me something, or, you know, the powers that be, it could be really disorienting sometimes. Not like, oh, I'm dizzy, I'm a pass out. Nothing like that. It's just like, I mean, one time I was sitting in my college class and just transported. And then I'm back and I'm like, anybody else see that? You know, like what, you know, it's so like, oh, now I got to pretend just paying attention to class. I can't, because I just saw something, you know? So, so I'm glad it's more nighttime. So it's called bilocation.
Yeah. I thought I heard it all. No, I've never heard of bilocation. And just the simple example of bilocation is what? Just being transported out of your body, or your body gets transported to another location and then back. Is that a fair definition, or how would you define that?
They said it's something that the saints have done, and I had to look into what that is. And mm-hmm. Because I'm not Catholic, this is a really Catholic mm-hmm. Understanding where saints have been seen to appear in different locations and to tell stuff or help mm-hmm. somebody with something. Sometimes they see them flying or walking. Mm-hmm. And I've had that be told to me before too, but I've also, and this is so odd, sometimes I've gone into people's bodies and walking around doing things. And one of the more recent ones just really floored me, because the person was about to die. Mm. And they couldn't quite handle the situation, you know? So I stepped in, and it's like, I don't understand. I don't understand fully why me, you know, with what's happening. And it was just one of those things that just always happened, and it would be confusing sometimes. And then to get an email, like,
That's weird.
Getting found out, you know, but it's gotten stranger in the past couple of years, to be honest. And it's something that I plan to be speaking on sooner than later. But it's been a wild, wild ride. Things mysteries that I never was seeking really to find answers to. I just kind of like live my life and do what I'm supposed to be doing that I remember. But now it's just, I've been found out about something else more recently, and it's been a whirlwind. Let's just put it that way.
You know, it's so interesting because, I can tell you on my end, I'm evolving, and, anyone who has been around this for quite a while, but has had unusual experiences. Like, before, I used to seek to get understanding of a situation, and then I would find, because then the situation would present itself to me. And then I'm like, okay, I'm good. You know, I've been there, done that. But what happens to me, and I don't know if you can relate to this at all, and I'm certainly not a biolocation or a bilocation person at any means. I think that would be absolutely mind-blowing. Just about the time I think that I've seen it all, done it all, been through it all, or whatever, something just kind of unusual presents itself to me, and it makes me want to question you know, at a different level. Do you know, there seems to be more questions than answers out there. And so with this bilocation thing, one question I have for you is that when this happens to you, even though I suspect from what I understand, you're not totally always aware that this is happening to you until somebody emails you or writes you or says, oh yeah, you said this to me or whatever. Are you even aware that a part of you is acting up in another location? Or is this when people are sending you these messages that you're like, this is very bizarre?
Yeah. I don't get the emails as I once did. As the internet expanded, I don't know if it got harder for them to find me, but it's sometimes I'm aware, you know, sometimes I don't understand how I'm finding these people going through their situations. I think that's really puzzling to myself, but when I'm there, it's very clear. And this is so weird to myself though, too. Like I'm trying to make a habit of, if it's happening in the middle of the night, and I try to make an audio to say, hey, this is what's going on right now. And I wake up to it, you know, later, or I forget that I did it, you know, and there's a recording. I'm like, oh, something else, you know? Okay. And it's almost like a second person did it. It's really different, but, sometimes I'm aware and it's, you know, you look to the heavens and you're like, you know, you have me doing this. What can I do that'll be really helpful? You know, and for me, it's like anything for, God, you know, Jesus. I'm just, after getting my memories back and him, you know, I tell people, I feel like cheated in my faith. It only took for Jesus to come and pop me upside the head. Mm-hmm. It's like, remember, oh, hey dude, what's going on? You know, I don't want to say dude, but you know, it was just you know, overwhelming. And I honestly didn't know or think, and I still am kind of surprised that it's not more common, like near-death experiences. I hear these things. And so when I was like, oh, I had Jesus encounters. Oh, you died? No. It's like, well, why you? I'm like, why not anybody? Of course he would show up. But now I'm finding, no, he doesn't always do that, but he has done it. It is growing out there where he's popping up more often. But yeah, I didn't realize how rare it was in that sense. And then have, you know, happened several times now, but
Heidi, if you showed up in my room right now, I'd probably start screaming during this interview, but, oh my God, Heidi's here, you know, the thing is that there are some things that can never be explained out there. And that of course is something that, you're the first that I've ever heard of, and which is I'm great. That's great because I'm learning and I'm understanding. But I'd also heard, and I can't remember where I heard this, and I think maybe others have heard this too. They always say that we always have a double of us somewhere on this planet. I'm like, oh, that's scary. You know, I'm running around somewhere else. Oh, geez, you know, I wonder how their day's going, you know?
Right.
Yeah, kind of thing. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's more than just having someone say, you have a double running around here, and this is what message came to me or whatever. This is something different. And that's what I want to differentiate here. This is not the double.
I could give you an example of one. And I think I might've shared this someplace before, but I don't talk about it a whole lot, but it's not like I'm ashamed. It's so different.
Yeah.
And it's so, you know, I'm nobody special, you know, people are like, why, you know what? I'm like, look, ask God. I don't know. You know, it's very clear to me. It doesn't seem odd to me. And not until you talk to other people, you're like, really? Nobody, you know, like it's odd. So, but I do have better understandings these past couple of years. And again, I'll be talking about these things more, sooner than later. But, so like an example, there was a young, African-American girl sitting on a bed, bawling her eyes out. Okay. And I went to her and I'm seeing her. She was so upset with herself because her boyfriend got a bullet came through the wall and shot him in his sleep.
Oh no.
and killed him. And she had promised him for weeks that she'd help him rearrange his room and make it all cool. And she's like, you know, if I'd only come, you know, like she felt it was her fault. And if I'd only rearranged this room. And I went up to her ear and I said, had you changed the room, the bullet would have hit him there because it was his time. And she looked so startled looking around the room. And, but I felt her energy calm, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and right now I have chills from head to toe because I'm like, how would I, you know, in what form was I coming up to her? She didn't quite see me, but she heard me, you know, mm-hmm. Why did I know to go to her? You know, it's, mm-hmm. so there's a higher power at work with that. But again, I'm nobody special, but you know, maybe there's just people more sensitive to that could pick up on these things or something. But it's not like I could sit here and I'm not a psychic. I can't say, oh, I know this person's stressed. Let me pop over there. No. So it's something different. I can't really tell you.
Let me jump in, and I'm going to, as I say to all my poor guests, I'm going to interrogate you, you know, bring it on, Kelly. Okay. This is what I want to know, because I just started putting my pieces together to create me to this day. All right. And so if I would have done that sooner, but maybe I wouldn't have known how to do that sooner. Maybe it took me this long to realize and figure out that there's always a plan. We always hear we all have a plan. And of course, people are like, yeah, what's my plan? You know, that kind of thing. But I want to ask you some questions. Okay. Think back. You know what a clairaudient is, right? Someone who can hear messages. Are you clairaudient?
I at times I have heard things, but it's not a common thing.
Okay. Are you clairsentient, where you can feel things and even when you're younger, did you think you're a little bit more sensitive than your step brothers and sisters, or a little bit back then? Do you think you were compared to them or not?
I am extremely empathic. Mm-hmm. I more recently was interviewed, well, this is a couple of years now, and found about something called synesthesia. And
yes.
I was one of five machine empaths in the world.
Yeah.
So I could feel inanimate objects as well. So
yeah.
And they'll do things for me. So.
Yeah. I can feel when there's Westerns on TV, and I don't watch a lot of Westerns. This was back in the day. I couldn't watch them anymore because even though the bullet was supposedly fake being shot at the other person, I could actually feel, and I still can, when it's lodged into the other person's body, even though it's a fake scene, you know, yeah. Or if somebody gets their, I hate to say it, their arm cut off, I can kind of feel that too, you know? So it's like, I started recognizing that and saying, this is really too hard. I can't even enjoy watching something because all I do is I can feel the other person's feeling, yeah. Or, you know, or emotion. And if their emotion, it's just like, oh God, you know, that's the worst, you know, because yeah. You want to sit and bawl like a baby and you don't know why. So yeah, I can relate to that. Now, yeah. Since I need you to explain to people what synesthesia is though.
Synesthesia. Well, I didn't know what it was when I was approached, to have a conversation about this, to have this, former New York Times journalist working for Psychology Today to write this article.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Apparently it is neurologically proven by scientists. Science has explained it to be like a crossing of the sensory system. So like you might hear music and see colors dancing in the sky, you know, or something. You might, like for me, if I think of like a time, you know, a calendar, I see stars pointing down to a beach, you know, and that's the time there, you know, it's physical, it's different. And they've been able to prove this through fMRIs. So for myself, after getting interviewed, I was told I had a lot of rare synesthesia, and then one of the rarest, one of five, the machine empath. And I was being interviewed for weeks by this person. I didn't know what they're looking for, because I'm like, synesthesia, isn't that where you see colors around a letter or something? You know, but it's like over 100 different types of categories for what synesthesia is. And I don't see colors like that, you know, but I explained to, it was Maureen Seberg, she's a journalist. And I said, well, but you know, I feel objects, you know, my computers and, you know, a baseball, you know, or whatever. And I said, and they respond. And she's like, well, can you document that? Sure. You know, because the computers are doing things for me they really shouldn't be able to do. And so it was kind of neat to be able to say this. I mean, it's not supposed to be able to do that. Why to do it? You know, so it was, and that led to a lot of a rabbit hole of information that just blew my mind. And I'm still learning about it today. But yeah, so the synesthesia is something very human, but it's like an evolving human. And it's like it's rare though. I guess it's less than 1% of everybody has it. And when you're talking about like the feeling of stuff on television, let me tell you, it happens to me too. And it's like, I have to kind of mentally prepare myself not to experience it. But what gets me like, is if I'm randomly walking through a room and somebody dove into a pool of water on television and I totally got immersed, you know, with water. I was like, you know, unexpected. It's, you know, so I feel it. I feel it with machines too. So
that's interesting.
It's painful. It can be really painful.
Yeah. I'm not at that level, but I have a level of that. And I used to just say, well, I'm an empath, I can feel anything. But then, you know, I never really went further with it to see what the evolvement of that really could be or wherever it's at. I have wanted to have an MRI or a CAT scan or whatever they would do to see if they could determine why my sensitivities, and maybe you can relate to this too, why your sensitivities are a little bit more than, I don't want to call it the average person, because maybe they just aren't developed, or they haven't been developed, or they haven't wanted to be developed, you know? And so, you know, I don't know what kind of development's involved there, but I can honestly say on my end though, I don't like run around and, you know, look for things to happen or whatever. They just happen. And when they happen and they're strange and unusual, then I'm like, that's strange and unusual, you know? And if it's something that seems paranormal or extraterrestrial, then I write about it. Then I try to make sense out of it, which brings me back to the Hat Man that you're talking about. I have just interviewed somebody who was on this show a bit ago, and he sent me a picture of a Hat Man or a dark shadow man, and he was on a military base. And it's not a made up picture, it's not faked, it's nothing. And I've been trying to help him figure out if it came from inside the shack or was coming from the outside of the shack coming towards him, but it's very significant. So my question to you is this: even though I saw my first wisp, and I have seen at times, yes, I have black shadows drape across the church floor or whatever when I'm in there alone or, you know, doing whatever I'm doing and stuff. I've seen that, but I try to just pass it off as something else. When was the first time that you saw the Hat Man or a dark shadow entity that really took you back? Do you remember?
So for myself, and you know, I'd love to see the photo that you're referring to with the Hat Man. He is numero uno in my world of enemies, and he is the main problem and culprit that I'm after in this so-called mission to wake people up to. I'm the first person who's ever discovered, named, and defined a phenomenon, and that's shadow people and Hat Man. And so when it comes to what I saw, it was initially something that was following a friend of mine and walking in broad daylight. I was in college and down in Iowa hanging out with friends, and we're walking and I saw this shadowy thing jump from a bush to a tree, like following us. And I'm like, what on earth am I seeing? Okay. Reached our location, turned around to come back, followed us all the way back.
Okay.
By the time I got to my friend's home, I was just beside myself. I'm a cartoonist. I do paranormal comic strips. And I was like, I grabbed a piece of paper as soon as I got to the house. I said, look, I don't know what I just saw, but I saw this following us. And I drew what I call the head and shoulder shadow.
Yeah.
And it looks kind of like a hulky man with its head directly connected to its shoulders. And I'm thinking my friend's going to start laughing, you know, and I show it to her and she instead goes, oh, not that guy again.
Oh no.
What? And she goes, hey dad, look who's back. He goes, oh, not him again. I'm like, hold on. What? What are you guys talking about? It followed her for years growing up. I'm like, that is just crazy. You know, so crazy story. We're talking. I was staying at her family's home there. I had to go upstairs to grab something. And again, it's broad daylight. Go to grab what I needed to, turned around, and it was blocking my way out of the bedroom. And I don't even know how to describe that level of terror because, I mean, how tall is it? I don't know, 10 feet tall. It's huge, hulking over me. And I knew if I ran, it was going to get me. Yeah. If I swung at it, it was going to get me.
Yeah.
And it was as if something told me, close your eyes and just pray and walk. And I did that and walked right through it.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing was it almost like a, you know, like in, just horrifying. So that was the first time I saw one like that. Though I didn't realize that that is what was part of what was interrogating everybody at my home that I grew up partly in with the haunting.
And as they say, there's more. So now let's head on over to part two to finish our interview with Heidi Hollis.